Welcome to the Nurturing Potential England Hockey Talent Team podcast. Here's what we've got coming up today.
A couple of things already in terms of just maybe some principles. I mean, there's a question around timing. So when might we offer feedback? So there's some information that we might be giving during a session. So almost like that immediate feedback. When might delayed feedback be useful? And I think part of this is really getting to know our players. So a link between coach-athlete relationships and starting to recognize, well, where are players on their journey? What's best suited for them and at the time of their development? And also, I think there's an interesting one around actually, and what context are they in?
Welcome back to the Nurturing Potential England Hockey Talent Team podcast. I am Gary Johnson, one of the co-hosts. Today I'm joined by Sean Kitson, who will also co-host with me. And our guest is Andy Bradshaw. Welcome, Andy.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Gary. Delighted to be chatting with you.
Great. Thank you. Would you just like to introduce yourself so everyone's aware of who you are? They probably already are, but let's...
No, there's no need for that type of induction. Andy Bradshaw. I've been involved in the sort of hockey pathway, predominantly sort of Yorkshire-based for the past, I don't know, 20, 30 years probably. So a variety of different roles. Been involved in some of the national age group setup on the boys and girls side. Played at Sheffield and from a work role was at UK coaching for quite some time, probably longer than I care to remember now, but role now is with UK sport as a coaching advisor. So work across a variety of Olympic and Paralympic sports, supporting coaching and coach development across those sports. So this topic around feedback that we'll discuss today is something that is sort of live in everyday work with me. So hopefully it will be a really interesting discussion. Looking forward to it.
Thank you very much. And quite a CV there, isn't it, really, when you think about it? I'd even forgotten about the playing days as well, and I shouldn't have done, really. So, takes me back a long time. So, okay, let's get into it. You've mentioned already that we're going to talk about feedback. So our topic today will be about delivering effective feedback within this talent space, but it could also be community space as well, but we're specifically going to touch on this talent space. So just as an introductory question, you know, what do we really mean by the word feedback within our sporting environments?
So I would kick this off with almost like a bit of a definition that I've used in the past around feedback would be information about a performance used to improve that performance or grow further. Now I think there's a couple of things in that definition, that sentence around information that we might provide or generate. Its intent is to improve performance. But the point around growing further, I think, links to something that I'm sure we'll touch on is what next? So part of offering, providing and generating feedback might be on something that's happened, performance that's happened, training, match play, competition. But in terms of the what next bit, there might almost be a reframing of feedback around, well, feeding forward as well. So what is it about reflecting on a performance or understanding, like almost the, instead of like outcome focused, actually, what was the how? What was the process that we went through? What could be changed? What could be tweaked? What could be done differently? When that opportunity offers itself again. So, you know, you're linking into the almost development planning with a player or a group of players. So I think there's a there's a looking back and also looking forward element to it that's really important to sort of position really early on in this discussion.
Cool. Thank you very much. Really, really nice way of looking at it. It's not just going forwards and it's not just about looking at what's just happened either. So I really like how you were sort of presenting that. Sean, is there anything from you want to ask?
Yeah, no, it makes me think of kind of feedback as a process, as an approach, being absolutely wedded to someone's coaching behaviors, someone's coaching practice. Is that how you see it, as kind of this is fundamental to the role of a coach and coaching?
I think you look at, well, the role of the coach. So there's an element of, and you know, when you turn up to a session, what are players' expectations of coaching? You know, you've got, there may be some imparting of knowledge. There may be setting up opportunities for learning, learning opportunities for the players. There may be things that the coach might observe that the players may be not conscious of. And all of these things wrap into, well, what is it that I'm here to do as a coach? And so I think at times we get drawn into maybe privileging one area over others at times. And again, some of that might be not as conscious a decision, or maybe it's not as an intended decision as we might think. So sometimes we get drawn into maybe offering a little bit too much in terms of knowledge, almost thinking, right, I can just pour this into a player and, you know, they will get better. Sometimes it may be like the space in terms of player engagement becomes a little bit loose. So it's like, well, actually, what is the coach offering here? Is it all about the learners doing the learning? And how might the coach really plan really effective learning opportunities? So that sort of links back to the planning element to it. And then there is that, you know, you being able to, particularly in talent development spaces, so with developing players, being able to see and notice things that players might not be able to notice. So I think that is, you know, a particular area where coaches can offer things that is new to players. And it's just getting, I think it's getting the balance right and understanding that coaching is complex and developing young players and talent development spaces in complex. Very few straight lines, lots of bumps, lots of times where players might grow quite quickly or they might regress a little bit, and actually just working through what can the most effective role of a coach be in supporting those players along that relatively uncertain journey. That I think is where it becomes a really interesting and challenging exercise, which I think just requires a bit more thought.
No, it makes me think of kind of like, how do we generate feedback and what are the ways in which we might go about that? So in my head, I'm picturing the coach as the observer, and they might be making some mental notes or jotting some notes down. But I just wonder what would be some of your sort of top tips for generating feedback, because I almost feel like there's almost invitation for opportunities for players to or athletes to be put into particular situations that afford the coach to spot something new, learn something different about the people in front of them, the young people in front of them. So what would be given your experiences across a number of sports, Andy, what would be sort of your top tips, two or three top tips around coaches generating useful feedback for themselves in order to at some point engage and interact with those athletes?
I think one point to be really conscious of is quite a nice phrase, the fact that it's quite alliterative, works quite well, but you know, are we a deficit detective too much of the time? So quite often coaches get drawn into just looking, getting drawn into sort of error correction mode. I notice something really quickly and I need to jump on that, which might then link into, well, sort of coaching behaviours that you might see. Every little mistake that's being made gets jumped on by the coach. And I think what I'd want to lean into is like, well, what's that experience like for players? And particularly when we're looking at talent development spaces, where we're wanting players to be creative, are hoping that that ability to make mistakes and learn from them, if the first time mistakes are made, that that gets jumped on by the coach, then you know, are we really creating that sort of, or are we enabling that really creative exploratory space? So that then starts to think around, well, starts to get us to lean into, well, what do we do as the coach when we're seeing things like that? Is it a case of maybe logging some of those things and starting to, okay, I don't need to attend to it right now, but I might come back to it at a later stage. So you're, you know, intentfully noticing that it might be player X or it might be a group of players that are all making, there are some things, there are some trends that are starting to emerge. And that you actually might come back to that at a later point, but it doesn't require immediate attention the whole time. What you might also work on is almost a concept around bandwidth feedback. So what are the things that like are acceptable? And if I really want to praise something that's almost like at the top level, that actually if someone is really performing something particularly well and it almost gets above a 8 out of 10, then that's at the top of the bandwidth. It's like, okay, well, that requires some attention. It might be that you're picking it out as a really good example, or you're actually just giving that feedback a real boost in terms of actually, you know, this is a super strength you're showing here. It's just something that you're being incredibly good at. And like, let's see if we can take that maybe into some other areas of your game. And then maybe at the bottom end of that bandwidth is actually, Where are the sort of non-negotiables that do need some attention? And there's a middle ground where you actually just might, you know, there are things that you might be okay with just letting things like the element of general stuff happening. It's like, well, that's all right. I'm happy with that. But it's almost like what's at the top and bottom of the band.
Yeah, that's an interesting analogy. It makes me think of kind of the phrase, the standards you walk past is kind of the standards you accept. So what is that bandwidth in relation to some of those non-negotiables, but also at that top end? And that deficit lens, I think, really nicely ties in with kind of one of our principles around the talent system framework of super strengths and super focuses, and making sure that we have that balance when we're interacting with individuals.
Just as you talk, I'm thinking about one other thing. I think what is really useful in terms of planning sessions as well for coaches is providing focus for players. So at times we may get drawn into almost attending to everything and trying to provide feedback on everything. Whereas if we're able to provide players with, you know, if we're doing a goal scoring session and that goal scoring session might be in and around the circle and the focus might be on getting into more of a low body shape, it might be looking at the type of technique we're looking at getting the ball onto goal, and it might even just be those two things. And the feedback that you provide is on those two things during the session rather than getting distracted by our leading into that area, well, that needs a bit of attention, and also the pass into that area needs a bit of attention. Then suddenly you're trying to generate and give feedback on everything that's happening, which can be quite challenging both for you as a coach and for the players in terms of just the volume of information that's coming through. So I think there is there's a point to be made about how we can provide real focus, which is linked to expectations about a session. This is what the session is trying to attend to, and this is what you're going to get feedback on. And that I think that helps players to understand, right, well, this is what some of the feedback that we might be receiving, and know it's linked to X and Y. And I can see that and sometimes that the challenge for the coaches is not to get distracted by everything else that's going on.
Yeah, I just makes me think of the coaching team. So if we're lucky enough to be in a talent development environment, and we've got a coaching team around us, being more deliberate about those interactions, who, when, why, how, So if we've got some real attentional focus for the young players, maybe there is an individual within the coaching team that's their interactions for the evenings, you know, spending real quality time at the appropriate point. And there might be others who are, you know, supporting the practice and making sure the practice is continuing to tick over. And I think that's hopefully, certainly for a number of environments in that talent space, that might resonate a little bit in terms of, oh yeah, that's a really good thought about how do we go about our engagement as a coaching team to support the players. Gary?
Yeah, loads of stuff. My board here is got loads of information on it. So I'm just going to try and summarize, because we've talked a little bit there about generating feedback, you know, how we generate it, who we generate it, or who could generate it, and when actually you would do it. So there's various times using your lovely bandwidth definition, potentially looking at different elements there, going back to being, are we the detective that's just highlighting mistakes, or are we going to be a person that enables that exploratory space, which I think is quite a nice thing to kind of consider. If we think about the next bit, you've touched on it slightly, you may not want to touch on it anymore, but effective feedback delivery is really important. You've talked a little bit about effective feedback being focused to a theme, potentially highlighting super focuses or super strengths or some non-negotiables. But is there anything else you want to add there around what is effective feedback, around how we do it or who does it?
Yeah, I think there's you've touched on a couple of things already in terms of just maybe some principles. I mean, there's a question around timing. So when might we offer feedback? So there's some information that we might be given during a session. So almost like that immediate feedback. When might delayed feedback be useful? And I think part of this is really getting to know our players. So a link between coach-athlete relationships and starting to recognise, well, where are players on their journey? What's best suited for them and at the time of their development? And also, I think there's an interesting one around actually, and what context are they in? So sometimes we will get drawn into, if we're operating in a club setup, where you've got a regular sort of match, Saturday, weekends, maybe midweek stuff as well. You know, so the regularity and the timing of feedback is dictated by the matches that you're playing, almost your competition schedule. In some other talent development environments in hockey, actually, you might have a prolonged period of training and development, so development focused. So that then starts to change the necessity to, well, do we need to change the way in which we're attacking, or I need to give you this particular thing in how you're receiving the ball. It could be a slightly longer term focus, which I think is it links into how we do goal setting with our players and how that might link to something like an individual development plan. Because providing feedback, I think, needs to be really linked to a player's ongoing goals. And what that enables is a discussion around how is it that the player is going to action some of this feedback? Because I think that's a really important point, that it's not just an offering of feedback that is very one-directional, coach to player, that's it, sort this out, and that's the end of the discussion. And maybe that's more of a sort of a historical traditional model of feedback. It just gets given to the player and that's like, okay, action that. And there's some nice research that sort of emanates from education around just moving from that more of a monologue, one directional framing of feedback, to much more of a conversational, a dialogue between coach and player, and really establishing, using feedback and maybe that frame of feed forward as well, just to open up some really good quality coaching conversations with a player. And if a player is unsure about something in the feedback, then actually, well, have a conversation with a coach. I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure about how I can get better at this particular one. Can you help? And I know in some talent development environments, there might also be a connection between coach X and coach Y might be in two different parts of the pathway. It might be a talent academy coach and maybe a club coach. And I think feedback also opens up opportunity for connection between different coaches and, again, opening up coaching conversations around, well, what does this mean? How can I help the player to be able to act on some of the feedback that's given? Because we go back to the definition. If we're offering information to try and improve performance, if the player doesn't have the ability, the know-how, or the opportunity to actually do anything about that, it's not really useful feedback. It's just sort of provision of information that is a little bit useless.
You touch on a really, really important point about the connectivity across different environments that a young player might be involved in, and of course multiple coaches, which has huge benefits because of the different nature of those environments and how that will support their development. I suppose it does make me think, though, the importance of young players aspiring to transition into more challenging environments for those that have that aspiration as they grow, but really important for the coaches to understand those other environments as well when offering or providing or entering that dialogue or feedback conversation. Because, for example, there's kind of I've seen situations where a coach will say player X is excellent at a particular action or something to do with their highly skilled actions or game understanding in that context. But then when they transition into another context, Coach B might have a slightly different view, because in that environment, maybe there could be some social psychological aspects of being comfortable, being at ease within that environment. There may be some challenges linked to stretch, that the playing level may be a little bit higher. So how do we sort of support the player around that transitioning piece? How can we help coaches working with coaches to, I suppose, for the best interests of the player?
Yeah, I think there's a point about helping players make sense of the feedback that we generate with them and offer to them at times. So there's a model that I've used, or a framework that I've used, that I think is quite helpful in some of this. So it outlines four areas. One around awareness, one around, and I'll go back and just discuss these in a little bit more detail. So there's one around awareness, one around cognizance, agency and volition, about shifting the responsibility of feedback a little bit further from just the coach in terms of providing it, but more towards the player in engaging with it. And that means engaging with the feedback, but also engaging with the sort of multiple people in their network as well. So awareness would be linking into what does the feedback mean and what is it for, really understanding it. And that might even be that start of the conversation with the coach that's provided the feedback, and linked to a couple of your points. That might be around just language. What does this term mean? So what does boxing out mean, or what does stretch mean? That might open up a really useful conversation with their home coach or their club coach with, okay, this is what's come back on a form or on an email or on an exchange. Actually, help me to understand what this means for this player. I'm also putting the player at the center of that in terms of responsibility for trying to make sense of that. So opening up those spaces for dialogue about it. The cognizance areas around, well, what are the strategies by which the feedback could be implemented? So again, a barrier to that might be, I'm not quite sure what I can do here. So that might link to goal setting or IDP work. Again, it might open up conversations between coaches around, actually, might there be an opportunity for that player to maybe play in a different position? That might open up an opportunity for them to do something else and explore a strategy that they can implement some of that feedback. The agency is more around actually opportunity to implement strategies. And again, barriers might be, sometimes players might feel, I'm not equipped to deal with this feedback. I don't really, it probably links to some of the awareness, but I'm not quite sure what it's for. I'm really not sort of bought into it. And that sort of links to the volition bit as well. There might be a bit of a lack of motivation, or there might be a lack of enthusiasm. Maybe even someone who's not particularly prepared to invest time and effort into making changes. And I think all of those things start us to really layer in, well, what does this look like in the context of talent development, where, you know, link into previous bits of the discussion, real complex changes and transitions that players are going through, offering feedback at certain points in that process with multiple different coaches involved. This is where player development becomes really complex, and the coach's role in supporting growth and development becomes, you know, a really interesting, complex space. But I think just by working through with the particular player, what are the areas that they might need to work on? You know, is it around understanding? Is it around, you know, how can I actually take some of this feedback and do something about it and check in, you know, check in the next week or the next month? How are you going with this? How have you made any progress? I think that we keep coming back to the need for feedback to be seen as almost like an ongoing process rather than a point in time where something is just passed to the player and almost the book is passed. It's like, how can we really understand feedback as just an iterative process with players feeding into ongoing coaching conversations?
Yeah, that strikes me in terms of, I think the awareness piece is in play, but supporting the young athlete from the cognizance point of view on helping them to understand that is really powerful. And then, yeah, our role and responsibility as coaches to give them the agency to act upon that. What support do they need? How do they go about doing that? And hopefully there is the will and the commitment and to have to revisit that and to come back to that. I think that that model might be a really nice one to share with the listeners as well, Gary. I'll come back to you.
Yeah, I was just thinking a little bit, really. We've talked and touched again on, you know, how the delivery is going to be a bit more effective, you know, what feedback support is there and some of the expectations. But if I just touch on expectations that little bit more, all three of us are parents, right? So we're probably also in this role. We get at school children get written feedback probably twice a year, maybe at Christmas. You might also get it at the end of the year. You definitely get it once a year at the end of the year. And I think in our own environments in hockey, we've been really used to end of cycle feedback being written, and that being pretty much what parents and also the player takes away, they need to go and work on. And what we're kind of saying here is ongoing feedback is throughout, but it's not always written in a way that we've given it to them. It's more of a dialogue. It's very much an ongoing process that it's two way. You've used an analogy before about a tennis serve and actually having a rally with it, which I really like. And I think that's a bit that you'll probably go on to in a second and touch on. So yeah, I'm just thinking about how we could bring that to life that little bit more in our own environments to support the expectations that coaches and parents and players probably have around this. Is there anything you want to add there?
Yeah, I do think the connection between what we might experience in other contexts and what players might think about you know, what they receive in a school setting will be quite formalized and points in time and very and quite a lot of priority given to what is this saying. It might, you know, feed into you know, streaming of classes and all of those different things. So the experience that players have in our coaching environments, and I think part of what England Hockey have been trying to do over a number of years is really support creating really thriving talent development environments that enable players to take more responsibility for their own learning and for coaches to be enablers to that. Now, that's a process of change, because you shift out of a school environment, come into a coaching environment where you're asking questions of players. It's like, wow, you know, I'm not used to this as much as almost just being told what to do. We are we're starting to generate more environments where players become much more involved in their own learning, which for some, that will be quite a smooth transition. For others, it might be really challenging. And, you know, as Sean was playing back my comments around sort of cognizance and agency and volition, I think when you think about what talent spaces look like and what, you know, teenage players might offer you back when you ask some of the questions around, well, how was that for you? How did you find that? Or how did that feel? And you might get a grunt at best, or possibly just a couple of words, you know, and you look at generating process, actually, you know, if you're doing a work on, I don't know, some drag flicking potentially, it's like, oh, how did that feel? It's like, oh, well, I don't know. You know, all of the different sources of feedback that you might have in terms of, right, well, how is your feet positioning there? How is your rotation? What are your hands coming through? Generating sort of internal process feedback is a real, it's a real development journey. And I think how we should be framing maybe some of the thinking around this is players' ability to engage with feedback is part of their learning journey throughout a talent development pathway as well. And some of what we're offering today is, you know, that it won't just happen overnight that players can really start to engage in feedback and ask good questions and connect with their other coaches. You know, some players will need real support on that. But I think that talks to the point that if we can have more coaching conversations with our players, not only do we get to know our players better, and I know there's constraints of time in all of this, but if we can enable ways or find ways in which we can have more conversations about what they're doing, how they're doing it, how their progress is tracking, how they feel they're getting on and how we feel, and connect those things together. So we're starting to get a better appreciation of expectations there, bring parents along with us on that journey, bring other coaches along with that journey. I think it starts to help address maybe some of the problems in terms of disconnects between maybe parental expectations, player expectations, other coaches, because we're having more conversations. Now, I appreciate conversations do take time, but they do add real layers of understanding when we're working with players, and particularly in transitional environments.
That's really important. I think been a real strong theme in terms of understanding the player, listening and sort of understanding how feedback supports performance, and that's kind of two-way conversation. But what I heard there, Andy, as well, is that understanding the person and what culture or what environment do we want to create, and actually there's a huge number of transferable skills, you know, ownership, being curious about oneself, asking questions, entering to conversations, exploring different routes and avenues. So it feels like there's a lot of transferable skills that are going to help them with their hockey, but equally just think about how they approach conversations, how they enter into dialogue in other walks of life as well.
Yeah, and I think there's some really simple stuff, and reflecting on bits that we had explored in some of the age group work would be, you know, asking players to set two or three goals within a game potentially, but then, you know, review them themselves, maybe score themselves out of, you know, I don't know, out of five, but give a little bit of narrative around that to say, okay, well, you know, if I was looking into how I might be making connections, I don't know, it might be a sort of a left defender, how am I making my passing connections in the midfield? They give themselves a score out of five. They provide a little bit of narrative, some description about how they felt. And that opens up a real, you know, a very rich conversation to say, right, well, share back with me. Or it might be even share back with another player, you know, peer-to-peer, like generating feedback. It doesn't always have to be the coach that's providing feedback. Players are fantastic sources of information about what each of them are doing, what players are good at, what players are, how they're challenging each other. So it probably talks to Gary's point about what are our sources of feedback and how do we generate it. It's like, it doesn't always have to be coming from the coach. There's plenty of other sources of data and feedback that we can use. But all of them are almost a start of a coaching conversation. We are, you know, performance analysis. If you know, people are fortunate enough to be able to get video footage of games or capture some data, like, again, that is really useful at times, but the data is only ever a start of a conversation. You know, it was a phrase that was used in a workshop a while ago. It's like data can start conversations, but it shouldn't really ever be the end point. You know, you might have possession stats, or you might have turnover stats. Like, they're really interesting start points. Like, well, let's discuss this, but it's not all about the data. It's not all about like coach feedback. There's lots of other sources.
That's great. There's so much to take in there. I'm just going to try and summarize that bit before we then wrap up. But I think the bits that I take away there is that, you know, the expectations that you talk about, we need to kind of have conversations around those with all different stakeholders and try and make sure that triangle is nice and strong between coach, coaches, player and parent or guardian. So I think that needs to be definitely strong is what I'm sure I'm taking from that bit there. And then actually making sure that the expectations to everybody is it isn't just going to be coach to player and written. There's going to be a variety of ways of feedback and goal setting and IDPs that we're all going to feed into this sort of feedback mechanism.
I mean, just on that, Gary, I mean, I'm fairly sure that I've definitely had conversations in the past which like, oh, my son and my daughter didn't receive that much feedback. And you reflect on that and say, well, the conversations that we've had in every training session, post games, they're all sources of feedback, but goes back to you, what does feedback look like in other contexts? It's a sit down parents evening, it's a written form, that's the feedback, that the expectations of feedback in other contexts, and they get layered onto, well, what does that look like in hockey? And actually I would be even just framing, well, what will feedback and feed forward look like for these players over the next 9 months? It will be conversations at every session, actually just discussing that upfront at the start of whatever it is. It might be a talent academy or a talent center. It might be a junior development program at a club. This is what feedback looks like. So parents know, you know, when me as a coach is chatting to their son or daughter, it's like, well, actually there's some feedback being offered here, or there's some discussion. And that's all part of this iterative process of player development.
Great. Again, some more nuggets to sort of hopefully share with the listeners. Okay, so we're just going to wrap this up a little bit. It's been really insightful for me, and I'm sure it has for Sean as well, and hopefully the listeners. But if we were to have some key takeouts, you know, hopefully three sort of takeaways for coaches working in the field, talent development, community coaches, what would you have as three key takeouts from this conversation today?
Yeah, so you mentioned the tennis analogy earlier. So it links to the monologue, dialogue, sort of two frames of how we might view feedback. And the tennis bit is sometimes we might see feedback as almost like a serve in tennis. I'm going to hit this down at the other player as hard as I can, and I don't want it coming back. Right, there we go. You've had it. And we want to try and move our offer of feedback and feed forward into a rally where, you know, we can return points about. I'm not too sure about that. It's, or how could I work on this? Or what's your thought on that? Or I'm not quite sure. So it becomes a dialogue, which is a rally of exchanges, which might, that rally, if we're to sort of extend the example, that might be over the course of a year or a cycle, a month, rather than feedback being seen as just points in, like, single points in time. The second bit would be, and we've mentioned it a few times, is, is it feedback? Is it feed forward? It's more of a combination of the two. So yes, we are reflecting on what's happened, but we're trying to take that into what is about to happen as well, which would link into sort of just general plan, do, review, feed forward cycles. But linked to all of the bits around we're wanting our feedback to enable progress and enable growth in performance. So we need to look forward and then enable players to action that. So it not just being like at the end of a particular cycle and that's it, actually the opportunities to offer multiple points of feedback and enable players to look like, well, okay, what can I do with this? How can I feed that forward? And the third point would be around just not getting drawn into that negative side of feedback too often. And what I'm not suggesting, and even in some of the bandwidth stuff that I talked about, is that we don't look at things that are going wrong and try and work with players to identify that and work on areas of growth. Yes, that it is certainly part of what we do in coaching, but there might also be significant sort of a balance around actually what are the strengths that a player, so Sean spoke about super strengths, so picking up on some of those things and getting a balance between that. And as we know, more often than not, coaching is finding that balance and finding ways in which we can work on confidence of players and the strengths that they have without getting drawn into everything being around actually what's not going so well or what errors are being made. So I think that tennis, feedback, feed forward, not getting drawn into that deficit detective mode. If we took those things away, there'd probably be three good things to hold on to.
Amazing. Andy, really appreciate your time in sort of supporting us with this podcast and getting more information out there. So thank you very much. Listeners, please do come back and we look forward to another episode of Nurturing Potential, the England Hockey Talent Team podcast. Thank you.